Hello everyone and welcome back to your fourth installment of our club pre-season review series. Today we are talking about Port Adelaide. I'm your host Jono and with me is Liam. How you going, mate?
Not too bad. Port Adelaide were an interesting team to watch last year. Interesting team for fantasy. Had some absolute superstars in there and then a lot of players that frustrated us. So I'm curious to see where we land on a bunch of these players today.
Yeah, I do feel like every time that you reached out to me last year about Port whilst I was away, it was always one of frustration going, you know, they're doing this or, you know, I can't understand this. So I'm keen to hear your thoughts today. Why don't you take us through a little bit of a history on Port Adelaide's year in 2023?
Yeah, so they were not very good again, unsurprisingly. They only won two games. They had seven losses and a singular draw. Now, I've taken a little bit of extra time here. I've also looked at how they were for fantasy scoring throughout the year. They were an extremely low scoring side. And across the 10-game season last year, they were outscored by an average of 125 fantasy points per game. And that includes only three times where they were the leading, where they actually beat the other team for fantasy points. And the maximum points that they scored over another team was 85. That's it. And that was against GWS in the final round of the year. And GWS were also a terribly scoring fantasy team. So they did not have a great game plan for fantasy. And I think when we talk about some of the players today, you'll kind of see my thoughts on why.
Yeah, I can completely understand. But on the positive side, it sounds like if we're talking regression back to the mean, that there's a lot of potential upside here if Port Adelaide can get anywhere close to neutralizing that gap.
Yeah, it's just a question of what's causing it. Is it players getting older and therefore getting better, or is it a game plan that was either ill implemented or misguided in its existence to begin with? So I can't say I know definitively what the answer is on that yet, but I'm just flagging now, like, as much as I might talk upside of a lot of players here, it's going to be real tough to say unequivocally that they've got super value.
Fair enough. Why don't you walk us through some of the major outs that happened in the offseason for them?
I think I can pretty comfortably say that this is one of the biggest outs for the competition. And even though how old she was also one of the biggest outs for Port Adelaide, and that's Erin Phillips. So she has finally retired at the age of 39 after 66 games in the AFLW. She takes with her a bunch of CBAs as well. And then other notable names that we'll see sort of delisted included Jackie Yorston. And then traded to Carlton was Yasmin Dersma, who was a rookie from a couple of years ago who'd been flitting in and out of our teams as well.
Yeah, those are some hefty losses. I think that's going to leave a lot of opportunity in the middle, but God, it's a real shame to see Erin Phillips depart from the competition.
Yeah, look, I think for the competition's sake, it's definitely sad to see her go. I had her in my team for a period of last year and she frustrated me immensely. And so it somewhat soured my relationship with Erin as a fantasy player. But overall, yeah, she's a gun of the competition and it's disappointing to see a massive name like that leave.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, out with one slightly older Port Adelaide midfielder, potentially in with another. Can you talk us through some of the ins that they had this offseason?
So they basically had one free agent slash traded player, and that's Kirsty Lamb, who has been a stalwart of the AFLW for many seasons now and has been in the leadership team at the Western Bulldogs for quite a number of years and have been, again, a player who's averaged above 70 for our fantasy team. So she's now moved across potentially to fill in that role, but I'd say that the bigger ins almost all come from draftees and from preseason draft signings. So coming in were Lauren Young, who will disappointingly miss this season after having done an ACL injury in the Sandful W already, because I could have guaranteed you she would have been number one on most relevant players if we'd been doing this pre-injury. And then they've also had in Molly Brooksby and Sinead Goody, both who were highly rated youngsters, having played Sandful W for a number of seasons. And in the AFLW draft, they took Piper Window, who I reckon if it was a fully national draft, which it will be starting at the end of this year, she would have been close to the number one player pick. She's won a a best and fairest in the Sanford W at 18. So before her draft year, she's already won it. And Lauren Young had also won one when she was 16. So this is an incredibly bumper draft crop and one that we will be talking about forever.
Yeah, wow, that's incredible for Port Adelaide.
Palatalade. Yeah. I love Palatalade.
You remember about 10 seconds ago before we started recording that I said I won't stumble over my words? I'm going to completely take all of that back. Yeah. Good. Well, hopefully someone who won't be stumbling over their words is Mel as she prepares to take us through an interview with a very interesting player in Shane Hammond. And we're going to listen to that right now.
Okay, so today, as part of the Port Adelaide preseason review episode, we're very fortunate to be able to interview Cheyenne Hammond. Cheyenne, thank you so much for joining me. How has preseason gone so far?
Thank you for having me. Preseason has gone really well so far. We've started off really strong. We've got some new recruits in the team and some new coaching staff. So, yeah, we're really kicking into preseason and getting ready for a big season ahead.
Yes, awesome. You've already touched on a couple of the things I want to talk about with the new recruits and the leadership, but I might just start off and ask, this is Port Adelaide's third preseason and also your third preseason with Port Adelaide. Have you noticed the club's approach change over the last few seasons?
I think we've just come into this preseason, like we've had a really strong off season and we've come into this preseason like ready, like fit and firing. And yeah, we want to potentially like make finals this year. That's the goal. And but we also just want to win more games as well. So
yeah, that's a great goal to strive for. So you specifically, you've been playing AFLW for quite a while now, having three seasons at the Gold Coast before and now two with Port Adelaide. But before that, you came from a soccer background. What made you want to change from soccer to footy?
The thing for me, soccer, I just wanted to change, I think. You know, I had a few friends playing footy and I just wanted to give it a go because it looked like so much fun. And I'm glad I did because it was definitely like a good decision for me. Because, yeah, soccer was fun, but I just wanted to change. I'd been doing it for so long. So, yeah, footy was a good change and I just started locally and, yeah, here I am. So,
yeah, and then you've been killing it recently. Going into your sixth season of playing, what are you still working on? What are you looking forward to improving this season?
Definitely for myself, I would love to just be more like of an attacking player. I'd love to sort of get on the outside and get some runs going. So that's definitely a goal of mine, but also just to be a strong player in general, really.
So we did see last season you spent some of your time running off the wing and some at halfback. Where have you kind of been dividing your preseason training? Like which one are you hoping to play a bit more of?
I've sort of been doing a little bit of both, probably more focusing in defense a little bit, but just sort of ready to be like play wherever they want me really. So, and I'm open to that as well. I love playing on the wing, but I also love being a good lockdown defender as well.
Awesome. So in terms of changes in leadership between season eight and now, obviously Aaron Phillips left at the end of season eight and that would have had a huge impact on the club. But we've seen Janelle Cuthbertson already step into the role and the Guernsey. How have you and the club been finding the change in leadership?
I think having Erin here last year was really good. It was good to have her leadership and her knowledge and stuff. But JC's definitely stepped up to the table. And, you know, Erin's shoes were big shoes to fill and JC's definitely filled them pretty quickly. And she, yeah, we love her experience and her leadership. And she's done so well to be able to come in and she's just taken the role with both hands. And just, yeah, she's just become such a good leader like she was before, but she's definitely, yeah, stepped into it now. And, yeah, she's been great.
That's awesome. You love to hear that. And in terms of filling Erin's role in the forward line, I guess we were hoping to see a bit out of Lauren Young, the exciting recruit, before she did her ACL. How have the squad kind of been rearranging to fill that gap now?
I think we've got a lot of strong forwards, especially like key forwards, like tall forwards and stuff. It's a shame that, yeah, Lauren did her ACL and we'll definitely miss her presence out on the field, but she's going to come back stronger and fitter than ever. I think our forwards have got it pretty down pat and we're ready to kick some goals this season.
Awesome. I guess so. Other big news for Port Adelaide from the off season was welcoming Kirsty Lamb coming over from the Bulldogs, and so she joins Abby Dowrick as another powerful midfielder. But there's also been quite a few new young recruits coming in from the expansion pre-draft signings and the draft. Which of these young recruits are likely to make an impact early, and who might we see running through the midfield in some of the early rounds?
Honestly, all of our pickups have been amazing. They've just taken pre-season with both hands and put it fully in their stride. Definitely, all of our pickups have been great. Definitely ones to watch probably be Shanae Goody. She is super quick and just such a strong player. Lammy's got great experience, so it's good to bring that into the team now that Erin's gone as well, so bring a bit more experience in. All of the girls are amazing, honestly, just super strong and just super fit, and they're ready to have a really big season ahead.
Nice. And in the back line, oh, there's just exciting news on every line here at Port Adelaide. But in the back line, we saw Hannah Dunn missing this season due to pregnancy. Someone that's looking pretty exciting back there is Alex Ballard. How's she going this preseason?
She's going great. She's so strong and fit. Like we all are. I keep saying we're really fit, but we are, and that was something we wanted to work on in the off season. Blexi is really, just taking it in her stride, really strong, and it's just good to see her out there just killing it.
Did you guys do something particular in the off season that's made you come in also fit and ready to go? Was there a bit of a program going on?
Yeah, we really just wanted to sort of come into pre-season already fit. So yeah, we put in a lot of work, and just we wanted to work on our fitness and having a new S&C come in as well, who's full time, has really put the time into us and just really good gym programs and off-season running and in-season running as well. So yeah, we're really excited to show what we've got to show.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. And you kind of beat me to it here, but the last question we like to ask all of our interviewees is who is the most exciting player to watch? And it's going to make an impact early in this coming season. You already mentioned Shanae Goody. Do you stand by that if you have to name one player? Or is there anyone else we should be watching?
Oh, that's a tough question. There's so many strong girls, and everyone just looks amazing. Definitely Shanae Goody, but also Abby Dowrick and Ash Saint as well, who's also exciting to watch in the forward line. Gemma Houghton, just so many girls. I can't even name one. Just everyone is just looking so good.
Oh, your enthusiasm is amazing.
No, everyone's looking so good. I just can't wait for the season to start.
That is great to hear. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Cheyenne. This was a lovely interview, and I'm excited to see what Port Adelaide come up with in the new season.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
All right, fascinating chat there. I think she threw a lot of fascinating names into the conversation mix there, and I'm really excited that we'll be able to go through them now with Liam, who has our top five most fantasy relevant players for the Port Adelaide. Liam, do you want to start us off with number one?
Yes, I'll start off with a fascinating option, and that is the fascinating forward, Hannah Ewings, who is going
Hey,
to see.
fascinating. What a player.
Yeah, I know. And I'm picking her because of the fascinating void being left by the fascinating Aaron Phillips in the CBAs. Oh, okay. So if coming back to reality here a bit, I think we definitely know that Hannah Ewings has fantasy potential. She's someone who came in as a rookie, won the Rising Star, averaged over 60 as a mid/forward in her first season. Last year, she came in as a midfielder only. Now, she had some pretty poor form, lost a large amount of her midfield role, and then also was dropped for poor discipline and poor training standards, which was a pretty big deal when it came out, even though Port Adelaide were not even testing for finals. A name to have come off a rookie season like that to be dropped in their second year was pretty big. But I think that this is a bit of projection going on here, but given the very few options that we have forward, I think the fact that she's going to be priced at 45, she's going to present enough value over and above what she averaged in her first year. And particularly with Erin Phillips going down, even if she doesn't take all of those CBAs, I expect her to be someone that if Port Adelaide are serious about improving their team, she'll be someone that will spend more time in the midfield.
Yeah, even if she just jumps back to that rookie season average, that's already an improvement. The only thing is, this will be, what, the third season in a row that I've tried to convince myself to start with Hannah Ewings? One's gone well, one's gone badly. I wonder how this year is going to go.
Yeah, I personally think it's going to be positive. I didn't start her last year because I just didn't like the talk of her having a lesser midfield role. And as it turns out, that was the correct play. But I'm waiting with bated breath to see whether or not she'll be in a position to do that again this year. And I just think that with so few options forward, like, she's someone that we know will test in the midfield at the very least. And, you know, Erin Phillips, 60% CBAs last year. I think she still had a pretty capable average as well. So it's not like we're picking up someone that, like, could barely score points. There will actually be some market share that needs to be filled. So, yeah, there's a 62 points and 63% CBAs. I think that's enough to be like, okay, with a forward line of no one, price where she's at, she's a top option for me.
Yeah, I think given her options, I like it a lot. The Port Adelaide midfield, though, it's got an interesting mix, and I think your next option is also someone who seems like they might be running through there.
Yes, this is – you're going to notice a theme to the players that I pick in my top five. They may actually all probably come from a similar area of the ground, but at two we've got Piper Window. So she went at pick 18. I've already kind of mentioned her earlier, but she's had played in four different seasons of Sandful W to date, and she won a best and fairest in 2023. Just looking at her stats from the last 2 years, you'll be pretty impressed by what she can do. So 2023, she averaged 20.3 disposals, 7.9 tackles, 6 clearances, and 95.8 fantasy points. And then in 2024, so she's played 4 games after having been drafted with 5 games, 22 disposals, 6.3 tackles, 5 clearances, and 93.8 fantasy points. This is a very accomplished midfielder already. She got extremely high raps from basically every talent evaluator. She looks like she's an in-and-under player with a great kick as well, and clearly a very, very good clearance player as well. I just can't imagine a world where they don't try and throw in the midfield just a little bit. And price at 26, she, even if she's on your midfield bench or your utility, she's definitely an option to be starting with, and probably one of the best fantasy scorers in this draft class.
Yeah, those are some seriously, seriously impressive fantasy chops right there.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that as a junior, as an underager playing in a full age comp. That's pretty elite stuff.
I also love the idea that they're adding, they've got so many good tacklers in Port Adelaide midfield, but to have someone who's a bit more of a ball winner, because outside of, say, Abby Darrick, I'm not really sure who's been racking it up for them in the last few seasons.
Yeah, well, you're stealing my research for later, because Abby Darrick does come up. You know, basically Abby led every single statistic outside of hitouts and tackles, where she was second. And she was second for meters gained in the competition. But I think the biggest problem was she was often the extractor and the clearance player, which meant that they were almost always kicks. And that meant that they really struggled to actually get much ball movement that was consistent and that could accumulate fantasy points. So a player that's got an elite clearance game like Piper Window, I think she's going to be a fascinating option for us this year. And given she's a mid-rookie, I definitely think it's going to be good. Now, one thing to think about with the price rise speed that we saw last year, I think that a first round matchup against Adelaide is certainly setting off some alarm bells for elite scoring. But I still think that given the sheer volume of points she scored as an underage player in the Sandful, it's enough to pick her in my team and have her ranked highly for Port.
Yeah, I think definitely someone that I'm looking at my team. Who is next on your list?
Oh, funnily enough, it's another rookie mid. It's Shanae Goody. So she's actually super baseman. Again, she was talked about as being one of the best midfielders in a draft class but because of the rules around pre-season signings, she was essentially being able to come across to Port as part of their kind of next-gen academy for free, effectively, before the draft even started. Now, this is another player who ultimately didn't win a Sandful W Best and Fairest. She was just a back-to-back under 18 All-Australian and the Best and Fairest winner for her Sandful W club in 2023. So I think it's safe to say that she's quite good at football. She's someone that, as a prolific ball winner, she averaged 24.5 disposals at 78% efficiency and 5.7 clearances in the 2023 under-18 champs. And across her last two seasons of Sandful W, has averaged 7 touches and 5 tackles for 77 points, and then 20 disposals, 8.7 tackles, and 97 points in 2024, ultimately only from three games, but one of those was 118 in round one as well. So there, these are two elite accumulators that I think you're going to want to be picking. And funnily enough, that Cheyenne mentioned Sinead Goody as the player who has absolutely shone the most out of anyone this preseason. So I'm extremely hot on picking her, particularly because she's only 300K. Now, it's not ideal to be overloading yourself with players from one team. So again, this is all tempered by I want to see it in the preseason. But her scoring profile as a junior is again elite. That disposal and tackle game at Sandful W level is insane.
I think I'm starting to realize what you meant when you said that Port Adelaide's hand of youngsters here is some of the best we're going to see in a while.
The way that they have absolutely swindled the preseason expansion signings is outrageous, because they've got Lauren Young, who is like the biggest freak of the lot of them, would have been like the number one forward picked. She could have been close to our F2 or F3. If she'd played this year, and I'm not kidding. Then they've got Sinead Goody. They've also got Molly Brooksby, who's a capable defender. And then they also picked up Tilly Schultz last year, who is my number 4 ranked player, and she's also a freak.
Well, I was going to ask, are we going to move away from the best rookie youngster of the year? But apparently we're just going with last year's as well as our number 4 on this list.
Yeah. Tilly Schultz. Now, we've finally moved away from pure midfielders. Now we've just gone to rucks instead. She was the best rookie from 2023 and our most important rookie pick. She really did also have some big scores in the back end of the year, which helped out those who, like me, had not had an opportunity to really upgrade their ruck at any point. But I think that she came in already as a very young player and made an impression. Like, I distinctly remember Ange Foley in the interview last year saying, like, nah, this girl can really play. Like, she's not played a minute for us yet, and I already think she's going to shock people with how good she is. And she really did come out and really prove some really good ruck chops so far. So even though she's quite young and it's difficult as a younger player to really dominate in the ruck, she was still top 15 in both hit-out win percentage and hit-outs per game. She could ultimately improve her hit-out to advantage rate, but combine the fact that she's only 19 with the fact that she broke her finger late in the preseason and was wearing a glove all of the rest of the year, she's got serious potential. Now, it wasn't a massive bump from the first half of the year to the second half. She averaged basically an 80 in the second half of the year, albeit with a final game of the season against GWS, where she only attended 50% of ruck contests. Now, she still managed a 75 by kicking 3 goals, which was certainly helpful. But I think that she's the future ruck and probably the future top 3 superstar ruck in this comp. I think that there's a very comfortable case to be made for her improving again. My only wariness for starting her is she starts up with a brutal ruck matchup in round one against Adelaide. Now, she scored a 70 against them last year, but I still think that's a difficult matchup to project well against, and then goes up in round two against Alice Edmonds, who I'd say that as a singular ruck is probably the toughest to go up against, just given her sheer size and also her ability to just kind of lean on other players. So not an ideal start to the season, but I think if you were going to pick a player to improve and be a superstar from the young ruck crop, she'd be my number one choice.
Yeah, it seems like a tough start, but wow, she was so impressive in the back half of the year particularly. I can fully see why. She might be someone that we look at as a long-term option.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you have particular fond memories because she absolutely destroyed Hawthorn in the second last game of the year. What did she do? She had,
I think it was 114 from
memory. 114. She had 34 hitouts. She had three free kicks, four. She had seven tackles. She had 15 kicks, which is another thing that I probably need to mention. Doesn't love a hand pass, loves a hoof, loves an absolute hoof, and we love that as fantasy players. That. Her and Ali Morfitt, a case of the big hoof snow hit targets, but I still think with the sheer, like with the how far they can kick the ball, I think you cop it. I'd love to see it as like a kicking purist to actually see it hit some targets, but I don't think you can argue that she's got some serious talent.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I may have spoiled this a little bit earlier, but number five on the list, we're heading back to the midfield, are we?
Yeah, I really struggled with where to place Abby Dowrick in this top five or whether or not I should ultimately talk about her at all because, okay, I've only talked about basically midfielders so far. I took the first three players were either midfielders in previous season that I want to go back in or midfielders themselves, but that's Abby Dowrick was easily Port Adelaide's best player last year. It was her, then it was Gemma Houghton, and then I would have said it was Matilda Schultz. Now, I think that Abby Dowrick, in only her second season, you'd argue that there's still room for growth. She was their highest fantasy scorer last year, but Port Adelaide had the second lowest highest fantasy scorer of any team. The only team that was lower was Melbourne, and that's because they've got about eight players who averaged over 60. They've got a real concentration of midfielders who aren't scoring superstars. Abby Dowrick is a singular force of stat collection at Port Adelaide, but their game plan is terrible. They can't hit that many targets in transition. None of their defenders scored well. Abby Dowrick shapes as a bit of an Elise Parker type operator, and I think that's the player that she most resembles in the way that she plays. This is an elite meters game player, loves to tackle, extremely strong, great from clearances, but probably needs someone alongside her to keep up with the way in which she can move and also be a target for her off half forward or a game plan that would allow her to take some more marks to really maximize her fantasy scoring. So I think that she's someone that you've just got to keep your finger on the pulse of because I think that she's 100 averaging midfielder later in her career. It's just going to be a question of if she can do it this year or we have to wait further.
I think you can very easily see the progression that she's making. It very much matches someone like Georgie Prosparkis or a Charlie Rowbottom, people who just had their third seasons last year and hit that 100 average mark that we're looking for. So I also don't think that those two players have the sort of ceiling that we've seen from Abby Dowrick in her second year because she put up 133 in her first. My question is how much higher can she go once she finally rounds out a game?
Well, I would say that as a man who remembers that game distinctly, even though he pretends he doesn't, she laid 15 tackles because it was an absolute monsoon that game against Sydney. And this was a very, very bad Sydney team too. So I think that might be a bit of an outlier because I think that her possession numbers are probably what ultimately let her down and her mark numbers. She's just not a high mark player because Port Adelaide are not a high mark team. So I think it's going to take a change there in order to see her jump up into that elite echelon. And I would say that for Georgie and for Charlie, you know, Charlie took a big leap when she had either Ali Drennan or Claudia Whitford alongside her as experienced players who can still be comfortably good users of the ball. Don't know if Abby's got that really.
How do you see the addition of Kirsty Lamb to this midfield unit? As a help, as a hindrance, what are we looking at here?
I don't know necessarily if she's going to go straight into the midfield, because I think that she presents an ability to, you know, roll up to stoppage from half forward. I think she also comes in as not necessarily the world's most like vocal leader, but just a really experienced footballer and midfielder and half forward who has managed to improve her game year on year from someone who really had issues with kicking and through sheer force of determination has improved her game to the point where she's a more than capable midfielder in a team that's won a premiership in the Western Bulldog, albeit not last year. But I don't know how much CBA time she's going to overtake. And I think in terms of CBA rotations, this is up there for one of the most highly watched, because I don't know if, you know, I'm not sure the mix of Abby Dowrick and Maria Maloney really worked for Port Adelaide last year. Okay, yeah, you laid a lot of tackles. That's, you know, 13 or 14 tackles between the pair of them. But I don't know if you got the most out of the ball movement as a result of them both being in there.
Yeah, no, I can see that. That's fair. Well, look, for the Jono special that we have on this episode, I'm going to take us from the roles that are a little less known to one that we absolutely know what they're doing, and that is Gemma Houghton. Gemma Houghton, as the key forward at the Power, had a career best year in 2023, I want to say. From a fantasy perspective, she definitely did, averaged 77.5, and that was most importantly on the back of about 93% time on ground, which you love to see. If we put aside one really poor score in round two, which was against the eventual premiers in the Brisbane Lions, which was a 38, she was incredibly consistent, had 60 plus in every game, most of those being above 80, if we're being realistic. Has a ceiling of 103 as well, which I think from our forwards is quite solid. The key thing here is that we are looking at such a difficult forward set of premiums. We've probably only got three that I think you would be pretty confident in going above 70, and I would say Houghton is one of those. So I'm probably betting on Port Adelaide to get better this year. I really like the mix of players that they've brought in, and I fully believe that if they get better, she's only likely to benefit.
I love the idea. I think Gemma Houghton's, particularly her end to the year, she finished with an 84, 78, a 92, and a 103. That's a really, really nice set of scores. Now, ultimately, one of those scores was against GWS, who were leakier than a sieve. Another one was against Hawthorn, who I don't know if they really had a player to go with someone like Houghton. And then another one was against the Suns. And then ultimately scoring 84 against North was a really impressive effort. I just worry, because like I think Port Adelaide have brought in better players, but I really do believe that part of their issue was game plan last year. And so I'd want to see better ball movement from them and more consistent ball movement to really predict much of an increase. But I don't think you can turn it down because there's just so few forwards.
Yeah, I think she almost benefits from the fact that she is quite clearly their best forward. And I don't think that aspect has changed. It's more just that the ball should be coming out of the middle a little bit more. So I really like that idea. I also think that if you look at if we ignore the Brisbane game, her games against Adelaide and North were quite impressive. And if we're looking at their upcoming fixture, they play Adelaide in round one, North in round four, and every other game is against someone who did not finish in the top eight last year. So they've got a really, really positive run.
Yeah.
It's really just can she get past those two games with okay scores? And then the key thing is after they play North, round five is actually their bye round. So they'll have two games, and those will be against Richmond and Carlton. Her previous best, the last time she played against Richmond was her personal best for that season. And Carlton have been a little bit of a bogey side for her over the years. But when we get to the Carlton episode, you're going to see why I'm not concerned about that as much. I think it's two great matchups. And I think at the very least, getting her in for round five, if not starting her for round one, is going to be a play that I'm very likely to do.
Yeah, I think for me, it's going to be a toss-up between Kate Hoare and Gemma Houghton inside my forward line. And it's going to be do I think that Melbourne will get worse or have fewer mids and so Kate Hall goes in, or Gemma Houghton will get better as Port maybe improve their ball movement out of the midfield?
Definitely a lot to watch in the preseason. I can't wait to see where this Port Adelaide midfield ends up, and excited to start these Port Adelaide players in the midfield. It seems like half my team is going to be Port Adelaide after this episode.
Yep, and be prepared to be very disappointed by how bad they look when it comes to actual scoring.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up, I think, for our Port Adelaide episode. Tomorrow we move on to the Hawthorn Hawks, a very, very exciting episode, something close to my heart, but potentially some interesting trading that's going on at the Hawks that I think is going to unlock some fantasy potential there. If you want to find us on any of our socials, you can find us at FreeKickWPod. And until then, we'll catch you later.
See ya.